We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Joy Powers.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Dance is about creative movement on stage or the dance floor or wherever it's practiced. And when we talk about dance, it's often in terms of movement and choreography. But the music itself is an equally integral part of the equation.
Each month, we talk with contributor and cellist Robert Cohen about the work of a professional classical musician. It's a segment called On That Note. This month, Cohen spoke with Lake Effect's Bonnie North about how the two art forms, music and dance, intersect for him.
Well, you know, it's kind of a long story because these days I often talk about ballet when I'm teaching and when I'm making references to movements in music because, you know, we sort of choreograph our movements and our movements then turn into sound through our instrument. And also I'm much more fixated about it than I used to be because I have, you know, a son who's a professional ballet dancer in the Birmingham Royal Ballet. And recently just started, in fact. And so it's now incredibly exciting to go and watch him and talk about all the things that are to do with movement and understanding the body and relating it to what I do as a cellist, but also watching the incredible discipline. And, you know, obviously he's been studying seriously since he was 11 years old. So his path has been to be a professional dancer. And that's been fascinating to watch. But just now at this time of year, it's a great time for me and my wife to get a chance finally to go and watch because, you know, this all this traveling and there's just so little time to do these wonderful things. And now we go and see him, which is exceedingly exciting. And so recently we just went to see a couple of performances and in London, and they were really fantastic. And of course there's all that just being enamored of what extraordinary things the body can do and all the sort of things that you would never dream you'd be able to do yourself. And then after the second performance that we saw, there was the following morning, there was an open class. So the company did class on stage for us to go and watch. And that's a kind of a mixed thing, really, because it's sort of something that they do every single day in private. But in this case, it was in public. So I found it fascinating from so many different points of view, because first of all, you can see the dancers that were starring the night before, and they were so extraordinarily brilliant and breathtaking. And suddenly you see them starting a class where they're moving very, very gently, obviously kind of tired from massive performance the night before, starting their warm-ups really, really gently. And they're, of course, they're not in those gorgeous costumes, but they're just in whatever ballet things that they wear every morning. So you see them in a kind of raw state, and they're moving gently and moving slowly. And then and the kind of exercises they do are ones that actually, you know, I've learned to incorporate a little bit in my own warm-ups as well.
Like what?
I've learned quite a lot from Louis, my son, which are just sort of gentle movements of wrists and ankles and knees and hips and shoulders and no kind of abrupt movements and no really very big sort of stretchy kind of things, but things which just gradually warm the muscles, get the blood flowing, continual movements, if you like. And of course they do them in a rather beautiful way, even though they just seem to be starting their exercises. And certainly I know that I feel my whole body seems to kind of notice that it's being woken up and being prepared for something much stronger. So I've taken some of those ballet movements and I suppose the breathing and things to do with the neck and even kind of facial muscles as well, and hands, and especially hands as well for us musicians.
Well, and the breath, you just mentioned that. I that's the first thing I thought of, was that, we all need breath, but musicians, of course, make music with breath. as a foundation. Even if you're not blowing an instrument or singing, it's still very much part. And of course, that's true for dance too, because you're moving on breath.
Yeah, and of course, if you don't breathe, we know what happens.
Yes, it's not a good thing.
I mean, apart from the fact that your muscles seize up and your brain dies, I mean, apart from that,
apart from that small thing, yes.
That small thing happens. But yeah, and of course, the difference for us is that we can breathe as we play without really thinking about it. And it just happens, and there's nothing to stop it happening, and it's not in conflict with anything. But I think with ballet, they have to sometimes be a bit more aware of when they breathe, because if they're going to do a lift or they're going to do a jump or they're going to do, they can't just carry on breathing in the normal way. So I think they understand breathing in more depth than we do. And that actually reminds me of, I remember once years ago, being off stage to the side of the stage when there was a ballet company working, and the dancers were doing fantastic, athletic, beautiful things on stage, and then one of them just sort of flew off into the wings, because that was his role, and as he came off, he just let out this enormous exhale, like he'd been holding his breath for the last 10 minutes, you know. And I, of course, what's happening is that they don't want to look as though they're out of breath. They don't want to look as though they're going to be panting, or that they're desperately gasping for a bit of extra breath to do some more extraordinary movement. So they have to hide all of that while they're dancing. So not only do they have to control their breath and all that movement, but they don't want us to see it in the audience. It has to seem completely effortless.
Right, and that's true for musicians too. We don't want to see the effort. We just want it to happen.
That's true, but I think that we just don't work as hard as they do.
I mean, it's a different kind of work, Robert.
True. But I mean, it's honestly, looking from a musician's point of view and watching them doing this warm-up, and then gradually as the class goes on, course, they start to get more, they're bigger movements and more extraordinary movements. Like, can you see dancers put their leg right vertically up past their ear, you know, straight up to the sky, and they're still standing there perfectly straight, and you think, is that contortionism, or it's just, what is that? It's absolutely extraordinary, extreme movements that they're doing gradually more and more through their class. And then the exciting thing is, finally you see them sort of doing real kind of dance exercises, you know, little bits of dance across the stage. And at that point, you really notice the beauty and the style and the, you know, what this is all aiming for. And all of that warming up, all that class before, is just a way to prepare them to be so creative and so stunning. And I think that's a real reminder for us as musicians that, you know, to always think about where we're aiming, and to know that in the end it's about being creative and about doing something really breathtaking and beautiful. And yet at the same time, there's such individuality. That's what I noticed in the class, that they're all doing the same thing. So they're all doing the same kind of movements. They're being told every few moments, they're being told to do a certain exercise, and then they all do it together. And they all do it in unison. And you can see that it's really important in the ballet company that they all look exactly the same when they do it, so that there's this uniformity when they do a particular move across the stage. And you can understand that. And of course, the more uniform it is, the more perfect it seems to be when you watch. And yet what was also beautiful to watch was that kind of little tiny nuances of individual things that they do, which they can't help because it's just a personal thing. And I was reminded of that the night before, because Louis was dancing in a group, and they were wearing, it was female garde, and at the one point he was wearing a hat, and his four men were wearing hats and all very similar clothes, and I was trying to figure out which one was him, because you couldn't actually tell, and we're desperately, you know, looking, is that one Louis? No, maybe that one's Louis. And then actually, when you look at them incredibly closely, you can see some identifying very, very personal little movements, which you kind of latch onto, because they are, those tiny details are the ones that touch you in a way. They're really kind of very personal, minute movements. And again, that's like in music. You know, we're all playing the same piece of music, but it's those personal little adjustments of tiny things that bring the individuality and the beauty of one person's particular interpretation. And the subtleties are the biggest things somehow.
Yeah, they are. And I was going to say it's what makes a Robert Cohen performance different from some other cellist.
Yes, I think that, you know, we see that, of course, when we watch ballet companies as well. There are people that we're kind of magnetized by certain people. And we don't even know why, really. It's just something about them that's touches us or just connects with us in their own way, whereas it's something about their personality. You might go and see somebody and feel it's incredible what they can do, but I don't feel particularly attracted to what they're doing or particularly inspired. And somebody else on the stage that might be doing maybe a much lesser role that you just can't keep your eyes off because there's something about the way they communicate that is so personal for you. And As a spectator, and to be honest, I don't spend nearly enough time watching or listening to others because I'm always so busy doing it myself. But when I do go and I'm captivated in that way, I just reminded how beautiful art forms really are to be involved in from a spectator's point of view, and not just, you know, me obsessing about what my audience will get when I play a Brahms sonata, which I tend to be focused on really very intently a lot of in my work. But just getting the chance to go and watch others in a different way is enlightening for me.
Have you ever had the opportunity to perform with a dancer?
Yes, in fact, I have on many occasions.
And how is that?
Well, when you mix art forms, I have to say I love the idea of mixing art forms, but it's quite complicated because when you play music, there's definitely a visual element that we talked about before, about people watching you playing and how much they get involved in your physicality as you produce the music and the music itself. And then you have somebody who's dancing or several people, but let's just say one other person dancing on the stage with you. They bring an enormous kind of physicality to the music. They're projecting the music in a different way, but it's very visually based. And sometimes it's quite hard to cope with the two things going on at the same time. I've had quite a lot of reactions from people in the audience who've said it was amazing to see the dancers working around you and with you on the music, and other people saying, I just was so distracted. I wanted to see you all the time, or I wanted to see them all the time, and it was difficult to cope with that combination. And I think that is an issue that works for some people and not for others, and maybe with certain pieces of music more than others. But I tell you the really fantastic experience I had years ago. A few years ago, I did a project with the Royal Ballet School in London, where I helped them understand over several weeks the way that a musician works on Bach solo cello suite, and how Bach wrote the music, how we interpret it, how we include movement into it, and how the dance movements work. The whole process of us understanding and coming to perform a Bach solo cello suite. And then what we did was we had one of the students choreograph something completely new for a particular movement of the Bach, six of the six movements, and six different choreographers, one for each movement, and they choreographed some dance for several of their colleagues at school. So each movement, what happened in the end was that I was told by the choreographer, I'd like you to sit on this part of the stage when you play that movement, and then they did their dance to that particular movement. And then the next group would come and say, no, now we want you sitting here and we're going to dance around you to that music. And so I had sort of six totally different experiences, six completely different interpretations by different young dancers and choreographers. And the result was really stunning. It was amazing to see how they'd been inspired by the music and so completely differently than I would ever expected. So sometimes you're playing a saraband, really slow, beautiful, heartfelt music, and they were sometimes incredibly active and intense with that beauty. And other times it was the opposite extreme, and I'd be being really, really busy playing a courant or something, flying around, and they took a completely different viewpoint of how the music worked for them. And I was just amazingly inspired by a completely different take on the music by young choreographers and young dancers. And I felt that the experience of the performance itself, the whole performance, was completely unforgettable.
Did it change how you approached the music in the future?
In a way, it did. But I think the most important thing was it changed how I felt I would work with dancers in the future. Because what I realized very quickly was that they needed to be much more, the music to be much more consistent from one performance to another. So for me, to play a Bach suite, I like to change things. I like to develop my ideas. Every single time I play it slightly differently, sometimes radically differently, because I feel I need to be spontaneous in a way. I feel that live element all the time, and I can take that license when I'm playing. But when the dancers have planned exactly how far they can leap or how close they can move to somebody else, they need the timing to be so amazingly consistent. And I learned very quickly that it was no good me being kind of, you know, spontaneous, because it just didn't work for them.
Well, it sounds, it's such a wonderful thing to think about, you know, how those two disciplines intersect and overlap and how they feed each other. Because, of course, dancers dance to music as well as, you know, musicians using movement in how they make music. And so it's a very cool thing. Robert, as always, we went long because it was such an interesting topic this time. But I look forward to chatting with you in the new year. It's been another wonderful year of conversations with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie. It has been a fantastic year, and I hope you get a chance to rest now.
Just a little. Just a little.
Cellist Robert Cohen joins us each month for a segment called On That Note. He talked with Bonnie North, and you can listen to past conversations with him at WUWM.com.